Chapter 21, Publishing Houses and Mission Fields.
There is much to be done in the way of establishing centers for our work in new fields. Missionary printing offices should be established in many places. In connection with our mission schools, there should be facilities for printing and for training workers in this line. Where there are in training persons of various nationalities, speaking different languages, each should learn to print in his own tongue, also to translate into that tongue from the English. And while he is learning English, he should be teaching his language to such English-speaking students as may need to acquire it. Thus, some of the foreign-born students may defray the expense of their education, and workers might be prepared to give valuable help in missionary enterprises. In many cases, the publishing work will have to be started on a small scale. It will have to contend with many difficulties and to be carried forward with few facilities. But none should be discouraged because of this. The world's way is to begin its work with pomp and show and boasting, but all will come to naught. God's way is to make the day of small things the beginning of the triumph of truth and righteousness. For this reason, none need to be elated by a prosperous beginning or cast down by apparent feebleness. God is to his people riches and fullness and power as they look to the things that are not seen. To follow his direction is to choose the path of safety and true success. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See 1 John 5, verse 4. Human power did not establish the work of God, neither can human power destroy it. To those who carry forward his work in face of difficulty and opposition, God will give the constant guidance and guardianship of his holy angels. His work on earth will never cease. The buildings of his spiritual temple will be carried forward until it shall stand complete, and the headstone shall be brought forth with shoutings, "Grace, grace unto it." The Christian is to be a benefit to others. Thus he himself is benefited. "He that watereth shall be watered also himself." See Proverbs 11:25. This is a law of the divine administration, a law by which God designs that the streams of beneficence shall be kept, like the waters of the great deep, in constant circulation, perpetually returning to their source. In the fulfilling of this law is the power of Christian missions. I have been instructed that wherever by self-sacrifice and urgent efforts facilities for the establishment and advancement of the cause have been provided, and the Lord has prospered the work, those in that place should give of their means to help his servants who have been sent to new fields. Wherever the work has been established on a good foundation, the believers should feel themselves under obligation to help those in need by transferring, even at great sacrifice, a portion or all of the means which in former years was invested in behalf of the work in their locality. Thus the Lord designs that his work shall increase. This is the law of restitution in right lines.
Chapter 22, Relation of Publishing Houses to One Another.
Under the figure of the vine and its branches is illustrated the relation of Christ to his followers and the relation of his followers to one another. The branches are all related to one another, yet each has an individuality which is not merged in that of another. All have a common relation to the vine, and depend upon it for their life, their growth, and their fruitfulness. They cannot sustain one another. Each for itself must be centered in the vine, and while the branches have a common likeness, they also present diversity. Their oneness consists in their common union with the vine, and through each, though not in just the same way, is manifested the life of the vine. This figure has a lesson not only for individual Christians, but for the institutions that are engaged in God's service. In their relation to one another, each is to maintain its individuality. Union with one another comes through union with Christ. In Him, each institution is united to every other, while at the same time, its identity is not merged in that of another. At times, it has been urged that the interests of the cause would be furthered by a consolidation of our publishing houses, bringing them virtually under one management. But this, the Lord has shown, should not be. It is not His plan to centralize power in the hands of a few persons or to bring one institution under the control of another. Our work has been presented to me as, in its beginning, a small, very small rivulet. To the prophet Ezekiel was given the representation of waters issuing from under the threshold of the house eastward, at the south side of the altar. Read Ezekiel 47. Especially mark verse 8. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. So our work was presented to me as extending to the east and to the west, to the islands of the sea, and to all parts of the world. As the work extends, there will be great interests to be managed. The work is not to be centered in any one place. Human wisdom argues that it is more convenient to build up the interests where the work has already obtained character and influence, but mistakes have been made in this line. It is burden-bearing that gives strength and development, and for the workers in different localities to be largely freed from responsibility means to place them where their characters will remain undeveloped and their powers will be repressed and weakened. The work is the Lord's, and it is not His will that the strength and efficiency shall be concentrated in any one place. Let each institution remain independent, working out God's plan under His direction.
Chapter 23. Consolidation.
The policy of consolidation, wherever pursued, tends to the exaltation of the human in place of the divine. Those who bear responsibilities in the different institutions look to the central authority for guidance and support. As the sense of personal responsibility is weakened, they lose the highest and most precious of all human experiences, the constant dependence of the soul upon God. Not realizing their need, they fail of maintaining that constant watchfulness and prayer, that constant surrender to God, which alone can enable men to hear and to obey the teaching of His Holy Spirit. Man is placed where God should be. Those who are called to act in this world as heaven's ambassadors are content to seek wisdom from erring, finite men, when they might have the wisdom and strength of the unerring, infinite God. The Lord does not design that the workers in His institutions shall look to or trust in man. He desires them to be centered in Him. Never should our publishing houses be so related to one another that one shall have power to dictate as to the management of another. When so great power is placed in the hands of a few persons, Satan will make determined efforts to pervert the judgment, to insinuate wrong principles of action, to bring in a wrong policy. In so doing, he can not only pervert one institution, but through this can gain control of others and give a wrong mold to the work in distant parts. Thus the influence for evil becomes widespread. Let each institution stand in its moral independence, carrying on its work in its own field. Let the workers in each feel that they are to do their work as in full view of God, His holy angels, and the unfallen worlds. Should one institution adopt a wrong policy, let not another institution be corrupted. Let it stand true to the principles that were expressed in its establishment, carrying forward the work in harmony with these principles. Every institution should endeavor to work in harmony with every other just so far as this is consistent with truth and righteousness. But further than this, None are to go toward consolidating.
Chapter 24, Rivalry.
There should be no rivalry between our publishing houses. If this spirit is indulged, it will grow and strengthen and will crowd out the missionary spirit. It will grieve the Spirit of God and will banish from the institution the ministering angels sent to be co-workers with those who cherish the grace of God. Never should the managers of our institutions attempt, in the slightest degree, to take advantage of one another. Such efforts are the most offensive to God. Sharp dealing, the effort to drive sharp bargains with one another, is a wrong that He will not tolerate. Every effort to exalt one institution at the expense of another is wrong. Every reflection or insinuation that tends to lessen the influence of an institution or its workers is contrary to the will of God. It is the spirit of Satan that prompts such effort. Once given place, it will work like leaven to corrupt the workers and to thwart God's purpose for His institution.
Chapter 25, Cooperation.
Let every department of our work, every institution connected with our cause, be conducted on considerate, generous lines. Let every branch of the work, while maintaining its own distinctive character, seek to protect, strengthen, and build up every other branch. Men of varied abilities and characteristics are employed for carrying forward the various branches of the work. This has always been the Lord's plan. Each worker must give his own branch special effort, but it is the privilege of each to study and labor for the health and welfare of the whole body of which he is a member. Not consolidation, nor rivalry or criticism, but cooperation is God's plan for His institutions, that the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, may make increase of the body unto the edifying or building up of itself in love. See Ephesians 4:16.
Chapter 26, The Canvasser.
Through the failure of canvassers to meet their indebtedness, our tract societies have been involved in debt. They cannot meet their obligations to the publishing houses. Thus, these institutions become embarrassed, and their work is hindered. Some canvassers have thought themselves ill-treated when required to make prompt payment to the publishers for books received. But prompt remittal is the only successful way of conducting business. The loose manner in which some canvassers have performed their work shows that they have important lessons to learn. Much haphazard work has been presented before me. By laxness in secular affairs, some have formed habits of carelessness and slackness, and they have brought this deficiency into the Lord's work. God calls for decided improvement in the various branches of the work. The business done in connection with His cause should be marked with greater precision and exactness. There must be firm, decided effort to bring about essential reforms. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord negligently, says Jeremiah 48:10, see margin. If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor, will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? See Malachi 1:8. Cursed be the deceiver, which voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a blemished thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is terrible. See Malachi 1:14, Revised Version.
Chapter 27, The Author.
God desires to bring men into direct relation with Himself. In all His dealings with human beings, He recognizes the principle of personal responsibility. He seeks to encourage a sense of personal dependence and to impress the need of personal guidance. His gifts are committed to men as individuals. Every man has been made a steward of sacred trusts. Each is to discharge his trust according to the direction of the giver, and by each an account of his stewardship must be rendered to God. In all this, God is seeking to bring the human into association with the divine, that through this connection men may become transformed into the divine likeness. Then the principle of love and goodness will be a part of his nature. Satan, seeking to thwart this purpose, constantly works to encourage dependence upon man, to make men the slaves of men. When he thus succeeds in turning minds away from God, he insinuates his own principles of selfishness, hatred, and strife. In all our dealing with one another, God desires us carefully to guard the principle of personal responsibility to and dependence upon Him. It is a principle that should be especially kept in view by our publishing houses in their dealing with authors. It has been urged by some that authors have no right to hold the stewardship of their own works, that they should give their works over to the control of the publishing house or of the conference, and that, beyond the expense involved in the production of the manuscript, they should claim no share of the profit, that this should be left with the conference or the publishing house to be appropriated as their judgment shall direct to the various needs of the work. Thus, the author's stewardship of his work would be wholly transferred from himself to others. But not so does God regard the matter. The ability to write a book is, like every other talent, a gift from Him, for the improvement of which the possessor is accountable to God, and he is to invest the returns under His direction. Let it be borne in mind that it is not our own property which is entrusted to us for investment. If it were, we might claim discretionary power. We might shift our responsibility upon others and leave our stewardship with them. But this cannot be, because the Lord has made us individually His stewards. We are responsible to invest this means ourselves. Our own hearts are to be sanctified. Our hands are to have something to impart, as occasion demands, of the income that God entrusts to us. It would be just as reasonable for the conference or the publishing house to assume control of the income which a brother receives from his houses or lands as to appropriate that which comes from the working of his brain. Nor is there justice in the claim that, because a worker in the publishing house receives wages for his labor, his powers of body, mind, and soul belong wholly to the institution, and it has a right to all the productions of his pen. Outside the period of labor in the institution, the worker's time is under his own control, to use as he sees fit, so long as this use does not conflict with his duty to the institution. For that which he may produce in these hours, he is responsible to his own conscience and to God. No greater dishonor can be shown to God than for one man to bring another man's talents under his absolute control. The evil is not obviated by the fact that the profits of the transaction are to be devoted to the cause of God. In such arrangements, the man who allows his mind to be ruled by the mind of another is thus separated from God and exposed to temptation. In shifting the responsibility of his stewardship upon other men, and depending on their wisdom, he is placing man where God should be. Those who are seeking to bring about this shifting of responsibility are blinded as to the result of their action, but God has plainly set it before us. He says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm." Jeremiah 17:5. Let not authors be urged either to give away or to sell their right to the books they have written. Let them receive a just share of the profits of their work. Then let them regard their means as a trust from God, to be administered according to the wisdom that he shall impart. Those who possess the ability to write books should realize that they possess ability to invest the profits they receive. While it is right for them to place a portion in the treasury to supply the general needs of the cause, they should feel it their duty to acquaint themselves with the necessities of the work, and with prayer to God for wisdom, they should personally dispense their means where the need is greatest. Let them lead out in some line of benevolence. If their minds are under the direction of the Holy Spirit, they will have wisdom to perceive where means are needed, and in relieving this need, they will be greatly blessed. If the Lord's plan had been followed, a different state of things would now exist. So much means would not have been expended in a few localities, leaving so little for investment in the many, many places where the banner of truth has not yet been lifted.